Well, always remember that redemptive historical pattern, because it's important. It's not that many, only six of them I gave you. And it's following that pattern, you will know. I mean, even like Old Testament, if you know this pattern, you know that that is what is happening, even in the events that you find in the Old Testament. So there was an eternal covenant between the Father and the Son, and Jesus Christ comes and fulfills that covenant. So the interim period begins, church age begins. So thousand-year kingdom of God begins. But this is when the kingdom of God is accomplished only spiritually, and it will be visibly consummated when he comes back. But at the end of that church age, Antichrist crisis comes. And right after that, Armageddon gathering, that's for salvation, and Armageddon war, that's for judgment. And after that, visible consummation of eternal kingdom. So we are at the pretty much end of that redemptive historical pattern. Last time we saw the last Armageddon war. As the church age comes to an end, Satan is released, as you know, for a little while. Thus, the Antichrist crisis comes, and Satan gathers his forces to attack the true Armageddon of God. Thus, the last Armageddon war. To the perspective of God, it is God's judgment upon his enemies. The last Armageddon war ends by the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his return comes with the last judgment of God.
Sorry, Pastor.
No, it's okay. His return comes with the last judgment of God, and then the visible consummation of heaven brings the ultimate end. Now, the last Armageddon war, the Bible speaks of the day of God's judgment. As Satan is released and he's gathering his forces to attack the church, and that's when our Lord comes back and he will judge all of them. And Bible speaks that day as a day of God's judgment. And we're going to look at that today. This day is the day of the Lord. It is the day of his return. Even the Old Testament talks about this day as the day of the Lord. The great and terrible day of the Lord, because it is the day of his judgment. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. The coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4, verse 3. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. It says, the day which the Lord is preparing. Again, it is the day of his judgment. Now, the New Testament calls this day, day of Jesus' return, also calls it the day. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day of the Lord, day of God's judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. So it is the day of the test. and God will judge. Now, you need to understand, when we hear the judgment, we always understand that in a negative way. But when God judges, He could judge something as good. So it's not always something bad. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but to those who are selfishly ambitious, I can't even read today, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. So, God will judge someone, some people, as a righteous, and the other as wicked. But it's according to what they have done. See, this kind of language scares some of us, because if you really think about your life, if God judges you according to what you have done, well, He's going to judge you as a wicked, because you're not righteous. Righteous means you obey God perfectly. But we always have Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus' good works He will judge you righteous. That is why without Jesus, we're all going to go to hell. Only Jesus saves. So you need to really believe. Whenever you come to these kind of verses that God will judge you according to what you do, well, because you are in Christ, it's now according to what Jesus has done. So you are judged perfect because you are judged in Christ. Well, the day of the Lord, the judgment of our Lord will be just judgment. And the day of the Lord, Jesus will come with the Holy Spirit. Thus, the day of the Lord is also the day of the Spirit. From Genesis, we see the reality of the judgment of the day of the Lord. God creates and He judges. That's why every time, every day, God creates something and you will read it was good to Him. He sees it as a good. That's judgment. See, like I said, judgment is not always bad, even though that's our understanding of that word. But it's God judging something as good. And every time He creates something that day and He sees it, and He sees it as good. That's His judgment. And this is always the case. God will judge. And the seventh day is the ultimate day of God's judgment. As God rests, just by the fact that God rests, it means that God saw all that He had made, and it was very good to Him. That's why He's resting. But sin comes in, so He has to work to save. But only in Genesis, if you look at it, He creates everything in 6 days. On the seventh day, He rests. That shows that He judged all that He has created, and it was very good to Him. So the rest itself witnesses the reality of God's judgment of all that He has done. God's resting shows that His judgment was rendered as good. And He continues to judge even today. And He judges us in Christ Jesus. He judges us as righteous in His sight. And one day, as the eternal rest will be visibly consummated, it will witness the ultimate judgment of God, that everything is perfect. Now, there are many typological judgment days in the Old Testament. We'll go to Genesis 3:8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So when you hear that verse, what picture do you create in your brain? They heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And man and his wife, Adam and Eve, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. It kind of gives you impression that God did not know Adam and Eve have sinned, but in the cool of the day, God comes and looking for them without truly knowing what had happened. And Adam and Eve, they're hiding from God. But that is not what it's saying. But it sounds like that. Because the translation, the cool of the day, the Hebrew word is ruha. We saw this same word in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 2. And there it says, the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. The Spirit of God, that word, ruha, same word. That word means wind. So only the context will tell you whether it means the Holy Spirit or just the wind. But everybody who translated Genesis 1 verse 2, they knew that it's not just talking about wind, but it was the Holy Spirit. So if you have word holy in front of the wind, then you know it's speaking of God. But only context will tell you whether it is just talking about the wind or Holy Spirit in this case. So, if we were to translate that word in Genesis 3:8, just same as Genesis 1 verse 2, as a Holy Spirit, then everything changes, right? Because it's not the cool of the day that God is now coming to Adam and Eve. See? The cool of the day. But we kind of understand why some would translate as a cool of the day, because they see the word for wind. But it is actually talking about the Holy Spirit. So it's not cool of the day, but it's actually saying it's the day of the Spirit, meaning the judgment day. So we should translate that not in the cool of the day, but in the day of Spirit, judgment day. God is coming to judge Adam and Eve. God knew that they already sinned. So he's coming to judge. So you could tell, like, how you translate. The story changes. It is so important to translate correctly. That's why you got to look at so many different translations, because you don't know the original language. The only way that you will have understanding of what that word really means, you got to look at all different translation and come up with the best one. So Adam and Eve have sinned, and the day of the Spirit meaning the day of the judgment has come. It is not that God did not even know that they have sinned, and during the cool of day, he comes to visit them. No, God is coming to judge them. It was the day of God's judgment. And later, Jesus says that his day, the day of the Lord, is going to be just like the day of Noah. The day that the flood began. That's the beginning of God's judgment. So it is the day of the Lord, the day of the judgment. So when Jesus says, my day, it's just like the day of Noah is talking about the day of judgment. He will come to judge the world. So, the day that the flood began, it is the day of the Lord, the day of the judgment. It points to the last day of the Lord. For us who are in Christ Jesus, even though it is the day of judgment, it is a blessed day for us because we are judged, like we said before, in Jesus Christ. It is the day of gathering unto God, the day of the true Armageddon, and today the worship of the Lord's day and the rest of the Lord's day, not rest of the Lord's day, meaning the remainder of the Lord's day, but you rest. The resting of the Lord's day actually points to that reality. And this is what my message is why it is important. Because, okay, day of the Lord. How does that apply to us today? And without that understanding, you will never know what we're doing during worship and during the resting of the Lord's day. Now in the New Testament, the day of the Lord is the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God and he is the judge. I could read you a few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 14. Just as you also partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. So when you come to New Testament, the day of the Lord, the Bible will say it is the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. You understand what that day is. It's the day of his coming. Philippians chapter 2 verse 16, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. So when you go to Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. So we have that phrase, Lord's day, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 10. This is the day of Christ's coming. Day of Jesus' coming. Now, this is very important point here. We saw many, many things. Actually, everything that we understand what Christ has done and what he has accomplished, there are two aspects to it. Already and not yet. Right? Resurrection. Spiritually, already we are resurrected. But bodily, not yet. We need to wait. Spiritually, we already ascended into heaven. We are seated at the heavenly places. But physically, bodily, not yet. So you already understand the concept of already and not yet. everything that Jesus has done and accomplished is already, but not yet. Same as the Lord's Day. Lord's Day has already aspect and not yet aspect. And understanding this is very, very important. Because we must understand Lord's Day in terms of the already and the not yet. In the book of Revelation, we see that spiritually, the Lord's Day has come already. This is why when you keep reading book of Revelation, it's the Lord's Day, meaning Jesus is coming, and Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3 is what? It's seven letters to seven churches. But if you read those letters, you will see it is Jesus judging those churches. So that some church, Jesus actually says good things. But some other church, Jesus actually condemns, well, I shouldn't use the word condemn, but Jesus actually says, shape up. You're not doing well. So Jesus coming and judging the churches. We already see that in the book of Revelation. And that is exactly what is happening even today. So you need to understand the Lord's Day in terms of the Lord's Day. Jesus is coming to judge. But obviously, spiritually, this is true today. Because visible Lord's Day has not yet consummated. There will be visible Lord's Day. But today, we have spiritual Lord's Day. Just like everything that we've been studying already, spiritually, but physically, visibly, not yet. So even now, the day of the Lord has come spiritually. Spiritually, Jesus has already judged us righteous in Him. The reality of the eternal rest being witnessed already. The reality of the last Armageddon gathering is already being witnessed. Every time we gather for worship, this is what is being witnessed. The Old Testament Sabbath and the New Testament Lord's Day, they both are pointing to the same reality, the rest of heaven. But the Old Testament was about waiting for that rest to be accomplished. So you start from day one and you live the pattern of waiting for the rest day. That was the Old Testament. But New Testament, Jesus already accomplished that heavenly rest. So, we start with the rest. The very first day. The Lord's Day. See, in the Old Testament, the rest is given as a reward for the work, 6 days of work. And we see the principle of works in the Old Testament, of course, it was a creation covenant. It was a covenant of works. But in the New Testament, we begin with the reality of rest being accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ by His perfect work. The Old Testament Sabbath is now changed to New Testament Lord's Day. But their meaning, the principle, the purpose, and the teaching, it's the same thing. Now, Jesus' second coming, the Lord's Day, it is the day of gathering, the day of Armageddon. So every time we gather as the church on the Lord's Day, what are we witnessing? That the day of Armageddon is already accomplished spiritually. So through the Lord's Day worship, the reality of heaven is being witnessed. The reality of the day of His second coming is being witnessed. Jesus is judging His church. Like we said before, His judgment is not always bad. In Jesus, He judges His church righteous. But this judging is already and not yet. So if we see it as something that has already been accomplished, then we see the reality of what the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3 shows. As He judges, He rebukes the church as well as He praises the church. Depends on which church you belong to out of those seven churches. Sometimes you see Jesus rebuking them. But other times Jesus actually commended them. Because we are living in a period in which the ultimate visible consummation has not yet come, some churches God actually rebukes. But when visible Lord's Day comes, all of His church, there's nothing to rebuke. We're going to be perfect church. But now, only in Christ we are perfect. So that people who are not in Christ, they were actually with us physically. But spiritually, they're not. So you have to understand this, and I will entertain questions later. So we are gathered as a church, but we must remember what God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 34. He says, so that you will not come together for judgment. He was actually talking about Lord's Supper during the worship. And He says, some of you are gathered for judgment. And that happens today in churches. That some people are gathered not for blessing but judgment. Because they don't come or they don't participate by their faith in Jesus Christ. They actually, some people are coming to church and worshiping God thinking that because He did all these great things that God's going to bless him. He's gathering for judgment. Because that person did not do anything to deserve God's blessing. Only thing that he actually deserves is God's judgment. And if you do not have, if you don't participate by faith in Christ, that's all that's going to happen is you're gathering for judgment. And that's the reality of the visible Lord's Day. What do you think will happen when Jesus comes back? You and I are going to be gathered as a true Armageddon. And God's enemies are going to be gathered as a false Armageddon. And God will judge. He will judge us as righteous, but He will judge the other side as a wicked. And that's exactly what is happening every time we meet for Lord's Day. Bible did not call that day Lord's Day for just whatever reason people might think. No, it's Lord's Day. And whenever Bible says Lord's Day, what does Bible actually say? It's the day of God coming. It's a judgment day. So just like the visible Lord's Day when He comes and we are in Christ, He will judge us as righteous and He is so pleased with us. That's what is happening during worship if you worship by faith in Jesus Christ. It's a very serious thing. And during worship, we see the reality of this judgment. We see during worship the exercise of the authority of the keys of heaven. And during the Lord's Supper, the reality of judgment when Jesus comes back is being witnessed. So we fence the table. Some people cannot participate. Why? Because they're outside. So, just by what we're doing during worship and Lord's Supper, God's judgment is being rendered. It is witnessed. The reality of the true rest of heaven, the reality of the true Armageddon is being witnessed. And the stipulations of the covenant are being proclaimed. Because during worship, Jesus blesses and he disciplines. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 19, "For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you." But, like we said, the earthly gatherings are not perfect gathering of heaven. The last eternal visible day of the Lord is not yet. But spiritually, we are already participating in that reality, and we witness that reality. Understand what we're doing during worship. Is that frog? Oh. That sounds like frog. Actually good. Now, as we gather, we witness the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we proclaim Jesus as our Lord. We praise him and we give him all the glory. It is being witnessed that he has been risen from the dead and he has been ascended into heaven and that he is the Lord of his people. As we worship, all that is being witnessed. And that's how you need to understand what you're doing as worship. You're saying to a whole world, Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's my King. He's risen from the dead, and he rules his kingdom. We are acknowledging his sovereignty and his power as our Lord, and we are acknowledging that we are under his rule, and we praise and we celebrate him and his accomplishments. The very thing we're going to be doing when he comes back visibly. There's no difference. Every time we gather for worship, what are we doing? We're saying to him everything that we will be saying to him when he comes visibly. And because of our faith in him, he will judge us as righteous. And he will bless us and he will love us. He just pours out his blessing upon us. And during worship through the Lord's Supper, we witness the reality of the banquet of heaven. The fellowship between God and us. We show that. The Lord's Day. All day long, we are to witness that Jesus is our Lord. What does it mean that he's my Lord? If he is my Lord, I must obey him. Every time you don't obey him, you're saying he's not my Lord. Now, our obedience is always not perfect. That's why we need Jesus Christ. We obey Lord, my Lord, perfectly in Jesus Christ. But that is exactly what we're doing all day long on the Lord's Day, because it's a day of Jesus coming. We are to witness the reality of heavenly rest. Of course, we are to do this on all other days, but why Lord's Day is important? Because only on the Lord's Day, we are doing this together. No other day we're going to do this together. Only Lord's Day. So as a covenant people of God, we gather together to do this. It's different from Monday, Tuesday, because you're going to do the same thing. You're going to show the world that Jesus is Lord, but you're going to do it alone. But as God's people together, only the Lord's Day we do this. This is why it is so important, because Christianity is not about just individual. It's about all of us together. Armageddon. Do you remember the rest itself? It's the judgment. God resting because he judged all to be good. God sees it that it is good. So through our worship and resting on the Lord's Day, we are witnessing that the heavenly rest. We are witnessing God's judgment upon his new creation, that it looks good to him. There is a meaning to your resting from the world and sin on the Lord's Day. This is why whatever that you do Monday through Saturday, you don't do on the Lord's Day. Because you are witnessing God's judgment upon you, that he judges you righteous. And you are witnessing the heavenly resting, because that's what God, it means God judging the new creation as a perfect. That's why there's no more work. He rests. And that's what we need to participate. We need to show that God is judging us perfect, righteous. So, show the reality of heavenly rest. And heavenly rest is not physical. There's no place in the Bible that when we go to heaven, we're going to sleep, or we're going to lie down and just take a nap. There's no verse like that. Resting is you're resting from sin. So no more sin. So you're completely resting from sin. That's what heavenly rest is all about. You're resting from the world, because there will be no more world. So if you want to truly rest biblically, you need to do your best resting from sin and from the world. So worldly things, you rest from it. You don't do it. Sin, you rest from it. You don't sin as much as possible. Obviously, like we said, the visible consummation is not yet. So we cannot do that perfectly. But as much as possible, we need to rest. Because we are witnessing heavenly rest that Christ has accomplished for us. Because in heaven, you're not going to think about world, because the world's gone. So forever resting from the world. And that's what heavenly rest is all about. It's not physical resting, you know, sleeping. And some people actually take it that way. So they actually sleep on the Lord's Day. And nothing wrong with you sleeping, because what can you do if you're tired? But if you really think that it's day for sleeping, man, you don't even understand what the Lord's Day is all about. If you need more sleep, why can't you do it on Monday? Why can't you do it on Tuesday? Why it has to be Lord's Day? Why? Who says so?